This is Sam Darmasena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
The context of this report and with our needs assessment has always been rooted in like dreaming and different futures. That was the context of our needs assessment, where we're like, what would a different future look like for you? How can we dream and imagine different possibilities of our communities? And every time we ask that question, whether that be with the youth ambassadors, whether that be at the launches of the needs assessment, whether that be in the actual needs assessment questions themselves, young people were only responding with answers that are like basics of survival. Like, listen to us when we talk to you, like provide us with what we need to survive, like give us safe spaces. Give us the opportunity to connect with community members. Give us a washroom we can use. Like, it's just like such basic things. So even it is very disheartening to think that like after all these conversations about dreaming and different futures, that we're still stuck in a place of survival.
That's Haley Moody of LGBT Youthline. I speak with her about their Do Better report and their virtual tour in April that aims to keep the conversations going. The Do Better report builds on their needs assessment report and provides recommendations around seven areas: health, suburbs and rural areas, grassroots organizing, youth-led decisions, political power, building standards, and training. And if you're not familiar with LGBT Youthline, it's a youth-led 2SLGBTQ+ organization that supports 2SLGBTQ+ youth across the province.
What folks most know us by is our peer support line. So that has been running now for over 25 years. And so the way that works is we have 2SLGBTQ young folks who are volunteers in our lines, and they sign up for shifts and they respond to phone calls, to text messages, to emails, to instant messages from other 2SLGBTQ+ youth that are from throughout the province who are just looking, you know, for someone to talk to, for support, to share something with, whatever the case may be. That's our service that we're most well known for.
LGBT Youthline also runs leadership programs. Haley tells me about the spirit behind the two that are running right now, Youth Organize and the Provincial Youth Ambassador Program.
So it's really focused on like, you know, bringing cohorts of young folks together to be able to share space, whether that be in person or virtually now because of COVID, just to like share space, build community and work on some leadership skills really. And that's really flexible on what that means for them. So leadership skills could look like, you know, for our Provincial Youth Ambassador Project, for example, that just wrapped up at the end of 2020, the different youth worked on different projects that they wanted to focus on and build skills in. So for example, creating zines, another one was like creating a Black only youth space. Another one was doing like education pieces for people who are in the education sphere around 2SLGBTQ identities within the context of COVID. So whatever they're looking to lead, that's kind of what we support.
Their Provincial Youth Ambassador Program had a direct impact on the Do Better report that was released recently.
In 2019, we brought together 18 2SLGBTQ young folks from throughout the province to begin the 2019-2020 cohort of the Provincial Youth Ambassador Project. So we started in person at a retreat for a couple of days, and the entire base of PYP for that cycle was a needs assessment. That was what we had applied for funding for. That's what we received funding for. So it was bringing these youth together, and all of them focused on different pieces that they're interested in, but really coming together as a community to conduct a province-wide needs assessment. So over the year, they conducted that needs assessment throughout the province. They had almost 1,200 youth respond, which is really cool. From there, we created 5 snapshot reports and 1 summary report from that needs assessment information. And that's where kind of like PYP 2019-2020 kind of ended. And that was the very beginning of the pandemic, actually right before the beginning of the pandemic. So early last March. So then from there, it was actually always our plan to take that needs assessment information and turn it into recommendations.
After the needs assessment report, they spent a year making the information digestible and actionable.
It's just like so much information, so many perspectives, so much storytelling, so many demands, like so much included in these reports that were like demands for change, I guess you could call them. So we were like, how do we take this information and actually synthesize it into recommendations that people can take with them? Because one thing that we were noticing is as we were doing our launch tour, folks are like, okay, but now what? We have this information, now what? So that's kind of how, where the Do Better report kind of stems from, is like from that needs assessment, and then took a year-long process again of like chatting with the YAs, so the youth ambassadors from PYP, talking with other staff at Youthline, talking to community members, and then a team of us came together and created these recommendations and launched it a year later.
Haley tells me that these youth-led recommendations are targeted at those in decision-making roles, for example, elected officials, school boards, youth serving groups, and more.
I think that everyone in Ontario and beyond can definitely learn something from this report and take pieces of this report and do better. Like, don't get me wrong, of course, I believe that. But a lot of the recommendations were asking for like higher level and systemic changes, where it's like, you know, I know that there are tons of people who are doing that on the ground youth work who are like, yes, I agree with all of those, but I don't have the power to make those decisions.
LGBT Youthline has offered 7 recommendations to do better. On their website, dobetter.youthline.ca, there's a recommendation report that accompanies each topic. The recommendation report breaks down the problems faced right now, quotes from youth, and a what we can do section that lists tangible ways to make change.
Originally, it was much shorter because we weren't going to include the tangible examples, but we did find, we're like, okay, if someone was like, you know, new to this type of organizing or never even considered to us LGBTQ youth, how can we like present some very clear examples?
Recommendation 1 is to redesign health system services and programs for 2SLGBTQ+ youth, especially mental health services and care for trans youth. The corresponding recommendation report outlines inequities within the health system and how to move forward. Ideas to do better include a two-spirit and LGBTQ+ care clinic on reserve that offers traditional and mainstream or Western healthcare support to Indigenous 2SLGBTQ+ youth. The care clinic staff and volunteers would be two-spirit and LGBTQ+, including peer volunteers, elders, and mental health wellness providers. Recommendation 2 is for suburbs, smaller cities, towns, and reserves to intentionally dedicate resources like space, time, and energy, as well as funding to directly support 2SLGBTQ+ youth. Some ideas to do better around this include local libraries planning to purchase a minimum number of books by 2SLGBTQ+ authors every year, and working with the 2SLGBTQ+ selection committee, where youth can make suggestions, review potential purchases, and advise on programming possibilities to engage 2SLGBTQ+ authors and local 2SLGBTQ+ community members. Recommendation 3 is to develop mechanisms for grassroots 2SLGBTQ+ youth organizing to access much-needed resources and supports. Haley tells me about Recommendation 4, meaningful involvement of 2SLGBTQ+ youth, especially racialized and Indigenous 2SLGBTQ+ youth, in decision-making at the local, regional, and provincial levels.
For folks who are in positions of power, who are, to be honest, are mostly still like cis, white, straight people who are in those positions of power, it's not okay to make decisions for youth. They can make the decisions on their own, and they should be making those decisions. Bare minimum, informing those decisions. Bare minimum, like stop speaking on behalf of 2SLGBTQ youth. It's not okay. And things are really hard for young folks. So I think that was like the main reason for it. It's just over and over and over again of those 1,200 responses, the most common response was stop making decisions for us. We can do it on our own. Like bring us into those conversations, because we're more than able to contribute to those conversations and also to make those decisions.
Recommendation 5 is proactive efforts to increase 2SLGBTQ+ youth representation in positions of power and influence.
Who else can better represent 2SLGBTQ youth than 2SLGBTQ youth and make those decisions that need to be had? So instead of just like informing policy or informing changes in the government or informing funding, it's like they're making the decisions about those things.
Recommendation 6 is to mandate change in building and facility standards to have safe, accessible, all-gender washrooms in all public spaces in Ontario, including on reserves.
That was just another one of those ones where it was so, it's just so specific. It's so specific, but such a need across all communities in Ontario and obviously beyond, for folks to be able to feel even a little bit safer going out into public spaces.
Recommendation 7 is comprehensive and ongoing training and capacity building focused on supporting 2SLGBTQ+ youth and challenging homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, and racism. An idea to do better around this would be labor unions across the district committing to host ongoing professional development focused on the intersections of race, gender, and sexuality, with a combination of community trainers and internal trainers invited to lead sessions. As Haley mentioned earlier, these recommendations are a starting point, and much more work needs to happen to support 2SLGBTQ+ youth in Ontario. To make sure their Do Better report gets in front of the right people, they're hosting a virtual tour in April. This will involve 7 webinars, one per recommendation, where a youth panel will discuss the topic at hand. The hope is that attendees will have already read the recommendations, and it can act as a launching pad for the conversation.
Because I really, really don't want this just to be another thing that just like, you know, if it was in print, it would be sitting on the shelf. I don't want that to happen. Like these youth and all of these people, you know, at this point, close to 1,300 people have contributed to this through the needs assessment, through the building of it, through the design of it. Like this, you know, these recommendations deserve a chance to be heard and to be implemented. So that's kind of the point of those launches, is to make sure that we're continuing those conversations and bringing folks into those spaces to do better.
We also talk about the interlocking nature of oppression.
This is just one aspect of like so many different systems of violence that folks have to navigate on a daily basis. And these are like the bare minimum things that need to change. But overall, like systemically, so many things need to change. So this would be like a step towards that.
This is Sam Darmacena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.